For years, people have been entranced by the concept of the afterlife. What happens when we pass on from this mortal plane? Do we simply dissipate like a candle in the wind? Or does the essence of who we are continue on, in some cases haunting homes, visiting our dreams, or moving on to an entirely new level of existence? We've spoken to mediums and psychics for the last 16 years on this program, each one bringing us detailed accounts of stories of the afterlife. But you, the listener, you want more. You want scientific backing. You want information that takes it beyond the realm of conjecture and into the world of reality. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what we have for you tonight. Joining us, Mark Anthony, The Afterlife Frequency.
I'm Mark Anthony, author of The Afterlife Frequency. But don't expect a dry treatise. This book educates, entertains, and reads like a juicy novel.
Joining us today is psychic lawyer Mark Anthony. Mark, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I don't think there's another person on the planet anywhere who shares this guy's resume.
He's been on Coast to Coast, the radio show with me for years. And folks who call in just love him. He's a psychic lawyer, but he's the real deal.
I travel to paranormal, mystical, and sacred sites around the world.
It's overwhelming how powerful this place is.
The Afterlife Frequency, scientific proof of spiritual contact and how that awareness will change your life, is a riveting adventure that takes you around the globe and from the cosmic to the subatomic, even into the human soul itself.
I refer to our soul as the electromagnetic soul because that's a 21st century term to describe who and what we really are,
sure,
which is pure consciousness that is eternal electromagnetic energy.
When we die, we leave our physical bodies.
Yes.
But what happens when we die, in your opinion?
Energetically, what happens is the electromagnetic soul, the who and what we are enshrined in our body, transfers from a quantum leaps from the material world to the other side. Think of your soul as a drop of water. And so when you die, that drop of water leaves your brain and plunges into the eternal sea of souls.
This book also provides hope in coping with grief, crime, murder, PTSD, and survivor's guilt. Part of being human involves contact with spirits, whether it's through a medium, during a dream, a deathbed vision, or a near-death experience. All these types of interdimensional communication occur when the energy of the human soul aligns with the afterlife frequency. The afterlife frequency teaches you my four-step raft technique. Recognize spirit contact, accept it as real, feel it without fear, and trust the message.
What a spirit does is they emit this energetic impulse, and within that are intelligent concepts. So the spirit's electromagnetic field interfaces with the electromagnetic field of my brain, and then that information gets converted into recognizable concepts based on my memories, feelings, and cultural associations. Over a century ago, Albert Einstein, Max Planck, and Werner Heisenberg discovered that everything is made of the same energy, a subatomic particle of electromagnetic force known as quantum. Energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. We are all energetic beings. Hence, the energy of life transcends physical death.
Mark Anthony is a psychic explorer, also known as the psychic lawyer. He's a fourth-generation psychic medium who communicates with spirits. He's an Oxford-educated attorney licensed to practice law in Florida, Washington, D.C., and before the United States Supreme Court. This psychic explorer travels to mystical locations in remote corners of the world to examine ancient mysteries and supernatural phenomena. He has made appearances on TV and radio, including CBS TV's The Doctors, Beyond Belief with George Norrie, Coast to Coast AM, and his original home right here on the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio, Darkness Radio. Mark is a columnist for Best Holistic Life magazine and the best-selling author of Never Letting Go and Evidence of Eternity. His highly anticipated, cutting-edge new book, The Afterlife Frequency, is out and available now. We have a link for that book in today's program guide. Ladies and gentlemen, please help me welcome back to the darkness on the edge of town, the one, the only, Mark Anthony. Mark, it's great to have you back, my friend.
You know, Dave, it's like I love working with you because you're a friend, and this isn't work. We're having fun.
That's right. And you know what? I've got to ask you. I mean, obviously, we've been friends for many years. We've talked about a lot of different aspects of these topics before you put them into a book form.
Right.
And I'm curious, for listeners who may not be familiar with you, you're a psychic medium, right?
Right. Yes.
You've had this ability since which age?
Well, it surfaced when I was 3 and a half, and I started talking to spirits. And the thing is, Dave, my parents could see them too, because both my mother and my father were mediums. Dad was a Navy SEAL. And at the time, though, he was, had gotten out of the Navy, but he was working with NASA as an engineer. And my mom was a commercial illustrator. So it has run in the family for generations. And, when I was 3 and a half, I started communicating with spirits. And mom was excited. She was like, oh, he's got it. Dad was like, oh, my God, he's got it.
Which way do you feel, or does it vacillate day to day?
I'd say 99.9% of the time, I agree with mom. Always got it. The reason why my dad was reluctant about it, Dave, is because his sister, who was a very highly gifted psychic medium, she was horribly abused because of it. And what had happened is her husband worked at this steel plant in Pennsylvania, and he was, I don't even want to call him a man of faith. He was a religious zealot, a fanatic. And he didn't like what she did. He felt that it was evil and very negative. And one day he was getting ready to go to work, and she said, I've got this feeling in my stomach. I've got this terrible feeling. You can't go. You can't go. So she kind of threw a fit. And so he said, fine, I'll stay home. Well, what happened that day was a crane was lifting thousands of pounds of steel beams, and all of a sudden the cable snapped, and it crushed the machine shop that he worked in, flattened it like a pancake, killed everybody in it. That's where he worked. Presumably, he too would have died. So instead of repaying her kindness, he felt that she was in league with Satan. He had her involuntarily committed to a mental institution. And Dave, over a period of 6 months, they forcibly subjected my Aunt Marjorie to electroshock therapy and cold water therapy. They put you in ice cold water, then take you out, and then shock your brain.
God.
Yeah, 6 months. They fried her brain. She never talked about seeing spirits again. And this happened years before I was born, because my parents, I was a surprise. They didn't expect me to come along. And so I'll never forget my dad sitting me down before I started school. And he said, Mark, don't talk about this to anyone but your mother and I, because people who see things others don't get taken away. And that really freaked me out when I was a little kid. And then, of course, as I got older, I found out about his sister. And so this has been with me my whole life. And yes, it is a gift, but it does come with a responsibility.
And your life straddles a very interesting paradigm, right? Most places or most guests we've talked about are steeped in the supernatural. They're steeped into the mystical realm of this. And when you have family members that have the gift, very rarely do you see one that is steeped more into science as well. And your father was a very logical, very intelligent man that worked for NASA. This yeah. guy knew his stuff. So you've got this interesting kind of aspect of being able to look at it from the spiritual and marry it to the scientific principles. And there's a lot of concepts that are floated around out there, Mark.
Yeah.
We're told this is what this means. This is what that means. Science, science, science. And they're, people have blown science out of proportion. They're utilizing maybe the smallest fragments of information and trying to apply it to their concepts of the supernatural. So with that concept in mind, how is your book, The Afterlife Frequency, different from any other books by mediums that have been put out there before.
Well, as an attorney, I was a prosecutor, then criminal defense, and then also complex civil litigation. I specialized in head injuries, in wrongful death, and certainly in crime, defending people accused of crimes. And so throughout my entire professional career, I had to work with forensics, toxicologists, neuropsychologists. I had to work with chemists. I had to work with scientists. And so all of that. And then when I was working with the head injury and then coupled with my dad, you know, with the space sciences and my natural interest and love of quantum physics, it all started coming together. And so, Dave, when I began working very heavily in the mediumship field, it just started clicking. Because the thing is, the reason this is different than books by other mediums, a lot of them are like, oh, spirit this, spirit that. And the terminology with spirit communication is stuck in the Victorian era, because that's when it was developed, during the age of spiritualism in the mid-19th century. And I know that we've done several shows where we've talked about this. So I'm applying the scientific method, quantum physics, my understanding, plus I believe that everything has to be backed up by scientific fact or sound scientific theory, and then presented in an easy-to-understand manner for people. Because I have found that there is an explanation for everything. I mean, Dave, look what you do. Look what your work as a paranormal investigator and with the Holzer files and other projects that you have going on and coming up is, and one of the reasons I've always enjoyed working with you, yes, you're a paranormal investigator, but you're also a science guy. Yeah, they're spirits, but how do they communicate? Why do they communicate? What is the technology we can use to detect what specific frequencies, where they are on the EM, the electromagnetic spectrum? And so that's the difference that my book, The Afterlife Frequency, makes, is because it presents this in a plausible manner. And that's why it's been endorsed by the top near-death experience research scientists and afterlife and survival of consciousness experts in the world.
All right. Now, you're going to have naysayers out there, skeptics, and I don't say cynics, because cynics will never be convinced. But skeptics that are, they want to believe, they want to see the real science. So I want to ask you this. You set out to write a book that ties spiritualism to science. How easy was it for you to do this without sometimes having to push a square peg into a round hole?
You know, I'm so glad you asked that. I remember there's a couple times that I hit the dreaded writer's block, okay, where you just can't get any ideas. And I remember one day I was working on trying to explain space-time, because you always hear psychics and mediums say that, well, there's no time on the other side. Well, it's like, okay, I heard that. Now I want to find out why. And so I started studying string theory, and through quantum mechanics, quantum physicists are theorizing that on the subatomic level, there is no past, present, and future. Everything's happening at one time. Well, this was driving me crazy. And I remember one day I was just like ready to beat my head against the wall, and I'm doing some research, and this quote from Werner Heisenberg comes up. Okay, one of the founding fathers of quantum physics. And he said, when you think you understand quantum physics, you really don't. And I started laughing about that. And then I conducted a reading for Dr. Dean Radin, who is the chief scientist at the Institute of Noetic Sciences. And I told him that story, and he started laughing. He says, Mark, nobody really understands quantum physics. He goes, you get 100 of us, and he's a scientist, you get 100 of us in a room and nobody can agree on anything. We know it exists, but we can't quite explain everything just yet. But the thing is, Dave, you know as well as I do, the obtaining knowledge begins with, I don't know. Okay, every quest, every mission, every form of learning begins with, well, I don't know this. Let's find out. Because, you know, this is not magic or hocus pocus. There's a delivery system. There's an explanation for everything, even what people have termed the supernatural.
It's interesting to me how you bring up science and the fact that they'll say, hey, we as physicists and scientists cannot even come to an agreement on one cohesive definition. It's a lot like mediumship. I mean, yeah. You all have the basic same gifts of being able to communicate, but where it comes from, how it comes from, who you communicate with varies on each individual medium or psychic. I mean, you can kind of lump them into categories of belief systems, but even that field seems to have derision in it, where the mediums can't come together on one explanation of how this is really happening either. It's fascinating. So you even see, you know, where we think spiritualism and science are two diametrically opposed forces. They're actually very close in the way that we handle them, the way we look at them, and the way that they elusively slip away from us being able to exactly define what either is and what they mean.
Yes. In the afterlife frequency, I put forth my explanation of how this happens, because there's a lot of mediums out there that are doing these classes. I'll turn you into a medium. And I've seen these development classes where there's people that are just absolutely devastated. They're in tears. They're crying. They can't do it. Well, the fact of the matter is not everybody's a medium, but everybody is capable of having a psychic or mediumistic experience. I mean, I can play tennis, but I'm never going to be, you know, a Djokovic or a Pete Sampras. I mean, I can swim. I'm never going to be a Michael Phelps. And the thing is, some people are simply better at it than others for various reasons, which I explain in the afterlife frequency. But everyone is certainly capable of having the benefit of spirit communication and being aware of it.
All right. Now, looking at the science, and this is going to be exciting for me, and I hope for our listeners, looking at a scientific principle that we can apply to afterlife communication, and I don't even want to specify it to just afterlife communication, but to what comes next. You know, my mom, when she passed away, leading up to it, I'd ask her, Mom, do you see anybody? Is there anybody here? No, no. And I'm like, I mean, you tell me, right, Mom? She's like, yeah, of course. 'Cause she knew. And we shared this fascination with death and the afterlife. And it was one day, about a day and a half before she lost her battle. And she was just laying there. And then she was just looking up. She goes, oh, it's so beautiful. My Aunt Judy and I were there, and we're like, what is? And Mom was physically there, mentally. She was in the stratosphere, and she was seeing something, and then came back, and you could see, she's like, oh, nothing. And I was like, Mom, what did you see? Nothing. And I was kind of bothered by that personally, because I thought, why aren't you telling me? But then I, you know, through the years, I've come to realize, because that's my journey to find. This was her moment and her experience. And this wasn't just the brain shutting down and moving on, as many have theorized in the past.
Right.
I believe she was having a spiritual awakening for a few moments. I think she might have been getting a glimpse into the afterlife.
The afterlife frequency, exactly. What your mother was experiencing is what is known as a deathbed vision, a DBV for short. And this has been, deathbed visions have been documented for thousands of years. I mean, there's even accounts of not only deathbed visions, but near-death experiences from Plutarch and Hippocrates in the ancient classical world, all throughout the medieval era. And what's happening there, and let me backtrack just a bit. One of the reasons the afterlife frequency is different from other books by mediums is because mediumship, a visitation where a spirit will come to you, a deathbed vision, near-death experiences, shared death experiences, have always been treated separately. And what I'm doing is explaining how they all have an energetic similarity, because it's all about frequency alignment and energy transfer. What was going on with your mom? And I've been at the bedsides. I get called in to several people who have loved ones that are transitioning. And when a person is beginning to die, what happens is we know that the brain does not create consciousness. I know the skeptics are going to argue with me about this, but I go into great detail about this in the book. But neuroscience is the study of the brain. And the conventional wisdom, Dave, is that consciousness is created by chemical and electrical reactions and impulses within the brain. But neuroscientists have no idea how. Well, that's because the brain doesn't create consciousness. It only hosts it the way a computer hard drive doesn't create the programs and the data on it. It only hosts it. So when the hard drive crashes, the data gets uploaded to the cloud, assuming that you're connected to it. And it's the same thing with the human soul. And so what was going on with your mom as her body was beginning to approach death, the energy of her soul was increasing. And because of that, it was emitting electromagnetic frequency beacons, and her loved ones in spirit detected that, and they were coming to her, and they're there to greet her when she transitions. And the thing is, the scientists like Dr. Raymond Moody, like Dr. Jeffrey Long, I believe Professor Pim von Lommel, they've all been studying this all over the world. And the conclusion is this is not a hallucination. This is not a function of a dying brain. These people are giving accurate and verifiable accounts of people in spirit. And actually, I think this is very comforting in many, many ways, because it shows us that death simply is not the end of our existence.
Well, what's fascinating to me, and for the listeners that are like, well, yeah, but neuroscience says something different. They're the ones that say it's the chemical compulsion shutting down, and that's what's giving you these. However, folks, don't forget Dr. Eben Alexander. Yes. He was a world-renowned neuroscientist. As a matter of fact, a very pronounced one. And he had his own near-death experience and can explain to you that this isn't just the brain dying, these visions, these tunnels, these communications with the other side. It's not just the RAM in your brain being set on skip and jumping from time frame to time frame. That's not what's going on, that it is something that exceeds the physical form and can be conscious outside, which proves that it's not tied to who we are, but what we are.
Absolutely. In fact, I had a discussion with Eben Alexander. We recently were both keynote speakers at the International Association for Near-Death Studies online 2021 conference. And a couple years back, I had lunch with Eben, and he said, you know, Mark, you take a book on the brain, and let's say it's 1,000 pages, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages on the functions of the brain, and maybe a paragraph, possibly two, on consciousness, because we simply don't understand how the brain could create consciousness. And the understanding that consciousness is non-localized has certainly been embraced by people of faith for thousands of years. And then during the Enlightenment with Sir Isaac Newton, who, you know, was everything is observable, and if you can't observe it, it doesn't exist. That created Newtonian reductionist materialism, who put the scientists on one side, people of faith on the other, and they didn't like each other. Well, now that we have quantum physics and we're seeing that we can't fault Newton. I mean, he was amazing. He invented calculus, much to the chagrin of every high school and college student in the world, but also the laws of gravity, laws of optics. He was an absolute incredible genius, but he also didn't have the benefit of 20th and 21st century technology. And he thought that the buck stopped at the atom, when we now know that it goes to a smaller particle of electrons, protons, and neutrons, and then even to a smaller particle, which is quanta, electromagnetic energy, and that everything is composed of electromagnetic energy on the most basic level, and that everything is a vibration and a frequency. And if Newton had known that, I'm pretty sure that he would have been out of the reductionist materialist camp and been certainly more open to the possibility and the reality that life does not end with physical death.
You know, it's interesting because we've talked to people from all walks of life, and you and I meet people from all walks of life. And it's funny how many will go, "Oh, you're a ghost. You're one of those ghost guys. You really believe that stuff?" And then 2 seconds later they go, "Well, you know, when I was a kid or when I was 20, and then they have a story to relate. So it's funny that it's like so dismissive, but yet we all have that dirty little secret that there is something that's niggling at our brain that we can't make sense of logically or scientifically. And it's okay to embrace that aspect of the human experience, that we don't have to know every detail about how everything works, but we're slowly progressing to get there.
You know, you're absolutely, absolutely right, Dave. And, you know, as a medium, I communicate with spirits. Okay. But every now and then I get a surprise. And I know that you don't know this because I've never told you this before. And I'm going to tell you this now. I think it was like 10 years ago. That was the last time there was a darkness radio convention. And it was at the Stanley Hotel, okay, in Estes Park, Colorado.
Right.
Now, let me back up a couple years. My best friend, and I write about him, he appeared in my book, Evidence of Eternity, and he's in the first chapter of The Afterlife Frequency, Billy. Billy, I met him when I was 11 years old. We went to junior high school, college together. Then he went to Asia, and he learned how to speak Japanese, Thai, Indonesian. He was a linguistics genius. I went to law school. And then eventually he said, "Mark, man, you got to come to Asia." So we went to Asia, and we had a lot of adventures, really amazing, amazing things. And our entire life, we had this debate about the existence of the afterlife. And even though we had both gone to Catholic school when we were kids, he was an atheist. He didn't believe in it at all. He said, "You know, I need proof. I need proof. It has to be science." He said, "But I still don't get how you do the psychic thing. And like, especially when we're in Asia and I'm talking to all the Buddhist monks and stuff." And he says, "Mark, you're making me think about things." Well, about 10 years after we got back from Asia, his wife called me. And anyway, he had died from suicide. And I was devastated. And he had come through to me spiritually. And that's a whole nother story. So let's fast forward about another 3 years. So there I am at the Darkness Radio Convention, Paranormal Conference at Estes Park at the Stanley Hotel. And I had done my presentation, and we're in the conference room. And so I'm signing books because people are lined up to sign the book that I had out at the time, which was Never Letting Go. And all of a sudden, my manager, Rocky, she decided to check things out. So she's walking around and she's looking at all the paranormal equipment. And Chris Fleming was there. Okay. And Chris had a spirit box. He was selling that. And Rocky was walking by and she hears, "Get Mark." And she stopped and she said, "What?" And Chris said, "I thought it said get Mark." And then it said, "Get Mark." And Rocky said, "I know that voice." And all of a sudden I'm hearing Chris and Rocky, "Mark, get over here." And I'm signing books. I'm like, "Hey, but they get over here right now." And I'm like, okay. So I knew it was, so I run over there. And as soon as I walk up, I hear, "Dude." And Dave, I stopped in my tracks. My blood ran cold. "Love you, bro." Comes out of it. It was Billy's voice. Wow. Rocky recognized it because she knew Billy. Okay. And she stopped and she was, "Oh my God, that's Billy." It was his voice. And Chris, you know, it said, "Get Mark" repeatedly. And Chris goes, "Do you think he means your Mark, Mark Anthony?" And I'm there and I'm like totally freaking out. You know, here I am, a medium, being taken totally off guard by spirit communication. But right. Then it's like, that was so Billy. He chose technology to make a connection to me. And the thing is, we grew up in the surfing culture of East Coast, Central Florida. He always called me dude and bro. You know, it was never Mark. He was like, "Dude, let's go to the beach. Bro, meet me, you know, hey, pick up a six pack, you know, that type of thing. And so Dave, inadvertently, you're responsible for me writing the afterlife frequency, because that got me thinking about, okay, this is technology to pick up on frequency. Once again, electromagnetic energy. And this shows that spirits are not only around us, but, you know, we're the biotechnology to communicate with them, but it is possible and being developed more sophisticated versions of that for spirit communication. So I never told you that story. And when I knew that you were, we were going to do this show, I wanted to save that story for you, Dave.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Do you know why he chose that method to reach out to you, Mark?
Because it was science. It was scientific. It was technology. Also, he always likes scaring the heck out of me and surprising me, you know?
I think that there's more to it. I think it's for the same reason I haven't come to you or Michael and Marty Perry or Chris Fleming or any of the mediums I know to communicate with my mom. And that's never meant as a slight to any of you. But it's, you know, all of you have said a good medium has to have as little information as possible so they can get evidential proof. And you all knew my mom. You all loved my mom and hung out with my mom and knew stories, and she opened up. So it's always been, not that I don't trust you, but there's always that nagging in the back of my brain of they love you. They know that you still hurt. Maybe they're just saying this to appease you. You've got to have that same thing in your head, that as a medium, you sense your buddy, you hear, yo, bro, bring a six pack, and you kind of laugh about it. But again, is that a memory? Well, by coming through something, it corroborates that this is beyond Mark Anthony's imagination. The spirit has found a new way to communicate to you and validate that what you're doing and what you're hearing is real, because even something set alone from you that has no knowledge, no brain functionality, just a spirit box, can be the conduit, can be the medium for the medium in that sense. And I think that was an ingenious way for him to communicate with you so that you were left without a doubt that this was him and it wasn't your own mind working on this.
Exactly. And Chris Fleming, he didn't know anything about this. And, you know, Rocky just happens to be walking by and she knows who he is. And for the benefit of the listeners, this story is not in the book. Okay. There's other things that I have in the book, because I don't want to write just about me. I want to write about other people's experiences and the technology and the science. But that story, if you will, was the genesis for writing the afterlife frequency. And, you know, Dave, when you just said what you did, that I think there's a bigger purpose. One of the concepts that I present in the afterlife frequency is spiritual synchronicity, how nothing is a coincidence, and oftentimes spirits will maneuver events. Now, they're able to see what you and I call the future, and they get the big picture. You and I, we're trudging through the field. They're the drone hovering over it, looking at the whole thing. It is entirely conceivable in the spiritual sense that not only was it his communication with me through a technological device, which, as you very, very succinctly observed, that there was no doubt that it was him and that he was communicating with me. And it was also his way of helping maneuver me to write a book explaining the technology, the biotechnology, and the science behind spirit communication. And I've been doing this long enough to see that spirits often, all the time, will interject themselves in our lives, not to control us, but to guide us. I mean, Dave, look at your life. You have brought to the forefront such an amazing array of unknown, questionable, paranormal phenomenon, yet provided a mainstream forum for people to talk about it. Did that just happen?
No, I like to think that God selected me, picked me up, and dropped me into the world of low pay radio.
And you know what? And you know what? That may be exactly it. You know, it's funny because people think, you know, I have a radio show, you have a radio show. And they're like, oh, yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, we have a radio show. We didn't win the lottery, you know? Yeah. And people don't understand that. But and because people, all right, skeptics will say, well, if these spirits love you so much, why don't they give you winning lottery numbers? Well, that's assuming they care about money. And you got to realize, as pure energy, they don't get sick, they don't get old, they don't get die. They couldn't care less about money. And think of it this way. What if, Dave, what if I said, no, I did a reading for you and all of a sudden I give you winning lottery numbers and we get it. You may stop doing this work, which is in the bigger scheme of things, much more important. Although, you know, hanging out on a yacht, you know, off the French Riviera sounds pretty darn good, you know.
But I'd like you to test this theory, Mark. Go ahead and give me the lottery.
I know, I'm always like,
I'm going to show you I won't quit.
Okay. Yeah, I promise I won't quit and I'll give 10% or more to charity. But the thing is, one of the concepts that I developed in the book, one of the key signature concepts, is the electromagnetic soul. And I know in the intro video where George Norrie is interviewing me, because that defines and describes who and what we are. Energy is neither created nor destroyed, only transferred from one form to another. People of faith believe that the soul pre-exists the body, comes into the body, and moves on after the body dies. And I studied so many scientists, and they all agree that there is a quantum electromagnetic field inside of the brain. And one day it just came to me, the electromagnetic soul. And that term blends science and spirituality, because that's what it is. Science and people of faith are really on the same page. They've been describing the same phenomenon through different lenses and through different terminologies. And that's one of the reasons that I wanted to write this book. And that's one of the reasons that I came up with the term the electromagnetic soul. I remember I had Dr. Gary Schwartz wrote the foreword for the book. And he called me up and he goes, the electromagnetic soul, the EMS, I love it, you know, and I was so honored. And he said, 20 years ago, I was calling the system in our brain an electrodynamical, and he had this like, you know, 10 words to describe it. He goes, you crystallized it down into one. And that was very humbling and such an honor to be accepted by so many scientists that, yeah, this sounds like what it is.
Let me ask you this then. You know, when you look at indigenous tribes, Native American peoples, they believe that there are souls. I hope I understand this properly. There are souls in the water, in the earth, in the trees, and even in the rocks. So with your electromagnetic soul theory, does that only apply to humans, do you believe? Or does it resonate with animals and all energy around us?
One of the things that NDEers, and I had a near-death experience when I was 4, but one of the main side effects or after effects of an NDE is the understanding that everything is interconnected. And I love what you said about Native Americans. I was in Hawaii a couple years ago, and in the video, there's scenes of a volcano. I was actually in the helicopter filming that. It was when Kilauea was in full eruption mode, and that was really cool. I mean, I've seen some stuff in my life, but that's like in the top, you know, one. But the Hawaiians call it mana, and that everything has a mana, a rock, a tree, the air, and the mana is the energy. Well, you know, you tend to, it's only Anglo-Saxon European arrogance that looks at Native beliefs and dismisses them. But when you look at the Native North American, Central and South American, and then you look at the Hawaiians are essentially describing in spiritual terms quantum physics. Everything has a frequency. Everything has a vibration. I mean, this pen, while it does not have a soul and is not conscious, at its most basic level is formed of particles of quanta, which are electromagnetic energy. That's the same energy that composes the air we breathe, you and me as people, the radio waves that this show is being broadcast on, the microwaves that are bouncing it off the satellites to get to everybody, the reactions of the sun. So everything at its most basic level is electromagnetic energy. And then there's the form of the EMS, the electromagnetic soul, with living beings. So to answer your question directly, the EMS, the electromagnetic soul, applies not just to humans, but also to animals. Because I've communicated, and I'm sure every medium you've talked to, we all have communicated with animals, the spirits of animals. So it's really, I get all excited because, you know, in the 21st century, we are on the threshold of these incredible breakthroughs, which are going to prove once and for all that life is eternal and that we can prove it.
Life is eternal. Okay. For a second, I thought you said life is a turtle. And I was like, where is this going to go? This is going to be interesting. Are we the shell? What is the, you said eternal. My bad.
Eternal. Well, yeah. You know, it's funny.
It's a drag getting old, Mark. It's a drag getting old.
Well, my book starts out an adventure Billy and I had in Thailand. And I'm not going to give that one away. But the Thai belief system is that the world rests on the back of a giant turtle. So see, Dave, maybe you're not so far off base.
I like the feeling of that. We have to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about one of the other concepts that you discuss, the collective consciousness. We'll do that when we return. There is a link for Mark's brand new book, The Afterlife Frequency, on today's program guide. Make sure you get the book. We also have a link to Mark Anthony's website, afterlifefrequency.com, so that you can read more about it and educate yourself. The book just came out a few days ago, so it is out and available right now. Do me a favor, please rate and review the book once you've had a chance to read it. Share it. Get people involved in this. It's a great stocking stuffer gift item for all of your paranormal friends. And with the holidays right around the corner, this is going to be a great book to get. And I also want to mention, I have a lot of people that reach out to me that are struggling with grieving, and your book, Healing Grief with Belief, is still one of my all-time favorite books, and I recommend it to people all the time. So pick up any of Mark's books. You'll find them on his website, but it's certainly, you're in for a ride, and you'll be educated, enlightened, and entertained throughout. Stay tuned. We've got more coming your way right here on the best in paranormal podcasting. This is Darkness Radio. We are back. Thank you for tuning in to the special edition live video stream with Mark Anthony. For those of you tuning into the podcast on Friday, thank you for tuning in and making us part of your world. Remember, if you want commercial free versions of Darkness Radio, all you have to do is subscribe to Stitcher Premium. Stitcher Premium for $5 a month gives you access to all of the programs, hundreds of thousands of hours of different programs that Stitcher carries, not just Darkness Radio, not just True Crime Tuesday, but every other program under Stitcher's umbrella. You can get it commercial free for $5 a month. If you are a podcast junkie like I am, it is the best $5 a month you will spend. And go use keyword Darkness Radio for some deep savings on your first year subscription. If you like to listen and you don't mind the commercials, keep listening the way you are, but make sure you share the show. Share it with coworkers, share it with friends, share it with your buddies at the softball field, out in the fishing boat, at church. Share this show because I think it has important messages from amazing guests that give us new insights to the paradigms of reality that surround us every day. One of those fascinating guests is here with us today. Mark Anthony, one of our favorite guests over the last decade of visitations here with us on the show, and actually longer than that now, because Mark, you remind me, this we are 9 years this December. It'll be 9 years since our last Darkness Radio event. It was the end of days event. Wow. At the Stanley Hotel, which was in 2012 December. So it came just before the Mayan calendar ran out on us, but we as you
and
see,
we're still here.
Yeah,
we're, you know, and I remember I did a Darkness Radio episode on the Mayan calendar, and I said, well, you know, it just basically clicked over. You know, it was like, remember on Y2K, the end of the world? And I remember I was at a New Year's Eve party. We all ran, looked at the computer, went click, January 1, 2000.
Yeah, Yeah, we were waiting for the end of the world. God knows the world has tried to shake us off its back enough times in the last decade, but we're still here. Now, before the break, we were talking about the electromagnetic soul theory, which is fascinating to me, explains why we have these influences, why communication might be so prevalent, as we are an electromagnetic force, an electromagnetic field as well. So if things are able to resonate with us, and if you don't believe me, folks, if you have old clocks, old 70s, 80s appliance, get yourself a K2 meter or an EMF guide and put it near there. Look at the amount of electromagnetic force coming off of these. And if you've got one close to your head when you sleep at night, that could be disrupting your sleep patterns, your consciousness, your thinking ability. It can cause a lot of problems. So it only shows that this does go beyond the science that we think we know, and shows that we can be influenced by EMF fields, by forces, by spiritual activity. Now, let's talk about the concept that you discussed in the book as well, with collective consciousness. Give me the definition. As I said, many different people have thrown out terms like this through the years, but what does collective consciousness mean?
Collective consciousness, I like to use the analogy of, think of your electromagnetic soul as like a drop of water. And that when your body dies, that drop of water leaves and plunges into the eternal sea of consciousness. That's what I call the collective consciousness. And you maintain your individuality and who you are, you stay intact, but now you are energetically linked to essentially an infinite array of spirits. And that this is a vast intelligence database. It's sort of a cosmic internet, if you will. And what I've observed...
Is this what Edgar Cayce referred to as the Akashic Records? Or is that just a subset of it?
Well, that's the subset. Edgar Cayce referred to the same phenomenon as the universal mind. And what's fascinating, as if you look at various religions, the concept of Christ consciousness is having your consciousness interconnected with something much greater and more positive. The Hindus talk about Krishna consciousness. The Buddhists talk about your consciousness being like this eternal stream of consciousness. So this has been discussed for thousands of years. Edgar Cayce also talked about how I'm listening as a mental medium. I'm awake when I do this, and I communicate with spirits, and I tell you what I'm perceiving. He was what's known as a channeler, or in Britain, they call it a trance medium, where he would go into a trance-like state, and spirits would essentially speak through him. And that's why many times during readings, I get a lot of medical information, because I may be communicating with, you know, your Aunt Martha, and maybe Aunt Martha didn't know anything about medicine, but as part of the collective consciousness, she's tied into this incredible wealth of information, which far exceeds the scope of anything that she may have known in this world. I mean, I've done readings on people, Dave, where things come up about genetic anomalies and cellular mutations within their body, things that I don't know about. And then people say, oh, my God, that is what happened to me, or that's what I have. Or they contact me afterwards and say they went to the doctor and they said test for it, and then it tested positive. And that's all part of collective consciousness communication. But there's many facets to this. Also, let's say I'm doing a group reading and something comes through and I target one person, but it resonates with 8 or 9 other people. There's a reason for that. The collective of spirits may be targeting this one person, but there's additional messages piggybacked on top of it. If I can give a quick example, if that's okay.
Please.
So I'm doing a public event, and all of a sudden I got Paisley, thyroid, pancreas. So I say this, I go, does Paisley, thyroid, pancreas make sense? Paisley, 3 people raise their hands. And this first lady stands up and she says, well, I was at the mall today and I was walking by this store, I think it was Macy's, and I just felt I needed to buy this Paisley skirt that I'm wearing. I'm like, okay. And this guy stands up and he says, my dad died recently. And yesterday I was going through his things. And for some reason, I just wanted his paisley tie. And then this woman, the third woman said, well, my grandmother's name was Paisley and she died from pancreatic cancer. And then the guy says, well, I've got a problem with my pancreas. And the first lady says, I just found out I have hypothyroidism. Boom. What had happened was these spirits came together. They gave me Paisley. Then they also gave me the medical information. And it was their way of piggybacking several messages in one energetic impulse that applied to several different people. Now, I've got other examples of this in the book, but that's an easier one that I can give because I know we got limited time.
No.
Yeah, and so that's all part of collective consciousness communication.
I'll tell you what, to share and piggyback on that. So for people that are like, well, sure, it's real easy for Mark to say this happened to him. I wasn't there. I didn't see this happen. I get the skepticism of that. I was at a gallery session for Chip Coffee. And he was like, Dave Schrader, would you just man the microphone and run around in the audience so that people have questions when I'm doing the readings? I'm like, sure. So Chip is talking and he's bouncing all over. And then he's like, man, I'm getting tired. And he goes, but I'm really feeling pulled over to the left side of the room over here. And it's back in the middle part of the room. I see somebody being shot by a gun. It looks like they're shot in the back of the head. This is a drug deal gone bad. Does this make sense? And this one guy raises his hand. So I go over to him and he's holding the mic and having the conversation back and forth. And he goes, okay, thank you. Thank you. You know, gets all of his validation out there. And he goes, this is really weird. He goes, in that same section, I'm picking up on another person being shot. They're being shot in the chest.
Yeah.
And this was also a shooting related to a domestic issue.
Right.
The person directly behind the first guy raises his hand. We get done with that reading. Chip goes, y'all aren't going to believe this. I have another shooting.
Yeah.
This was an accidental shooting, might even be suicide. I'm picking up a blonde woman. Da, da, da. The person right behind the second guy raises their hand. It was boom, boom, yeah, boom. Consciousness. They all came together. They sat in a row. And when Chip said, I'm getting tired of bouncing back and forth, all the spirits aligned to hit boom, boom, boom right there.
Right.
It was the craziest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Right. And that's a good example of collective consciousness communication, because what can happen is there may be a commonality between the spirits, in this case, how they died, or there could be a commonality between the people that they are targeting here. So my example was spirits that had the commonality with Paisley, and the people here in this world have the commonality with Paisley. And essentially the story you told is very similar in the way, the manner of death. And I've seen this hundreds of times. I mean, done it hundreds of times. The other thing is, like when I said, when I'll do a reading on somebody and I get something medical about them and people say, well, you know, that's not the case with me. And I was in Texas right before the pandemic hit. I was doing a public event and this gentleman came up to me. He says, Mark, I want to thank you. And I said, well, okay, for what? He said, for saving my life. Last year, my wife dragged me here. I didn't believe in this stuff. And you said that my father said that I was on the verge of a heart attack and I'd better get in to see the doctor ASAP. And he said, I didn't believe it. My wife made me go. And the doctor said, oh, dear God, you've got such a severe blockage. You're on the verge of a heart attack. Now, he looked fine. Okay. You can't just look at someone and go, oh, they're on the verge of a heart attack. But spirits know this. Them being electromagnetic energy, they scan, they find energy blockages, they report it to the medium, and then we relay it to you. So collective consciousness communication is a very powerful instrument of healing and actually of love.
Beautiful. Again, folks, if you want more information on our guest, you can check out his website, afterlifefrequency.com. We have a link for it on today's program guide. Mark Anthony, afterlifefrequency.com is his website. Mark, what impressed me, I guess, with this is, as we started off talking in the beginning, science cannot all come together on one concept. Mediums cannot come all together to agree on one concept, but yet with the Afterlife Frequency book, it's been endorsed by so many of the world's top survival of consciousness and near-death experience researchers. Is that surprising to you that it's speaking this way over to so many people instead of alienating or just finding your tribe? It seems to be leveling the playing field.
You know, it was my intent to write a book to do this. And I believe that my collective was guiding and helping me to do this. Do we have time for one last story?
Oh, we've got plenty of time.
Just okay. Right. All right. The raft technique that I mentioned in the video. Well, I had once again the dreaded writer's block, okay? And I was trying to figure out, how do I explain to people who are not mediums that they can have a spiritual encounter and understand it and benefit from it? So I thought I was getting nowhere. So I turned off my computer and I thought, I'm going to go for a walk on the beach. I live near the ocean. And so I start walking towards the beach and all of a sudden I get this feeling and I do an about face. Instead, I go on this bike path. So I'm walking down this bike path and I see two things shining in the light. And I walk up to them and it's a nickel and a penny. And I hear my mother's voice in my head say, if they're face down, don't pick them up. And I'm laughing because my mom's family was Italian and, you know, they have a superstition for everything, you know? And then I hear my dad's voice say, it's money, grab it. And I'm laughing, you know? So I scoop up this penny and this nickel and I'm looking at it and all of a sudden I go, oh, 6 cents. I go, 6 cents. And then I'm getting these chills going through my body. And I realized the chills is when their electromagnetic souls were touching me because my body's electrical field was interfacing with theirs. Then my mind's eye flashed and I saw my dad standing in the ocean with this. And he was not just a SEAL, but also a scuba diver and a swimming instructor. And he was holding this blue canvas raft that he always had. And all of a sudden I got raft. Recognize, accept, feel, trust. And it hit me. That's what they were doing to me. That they guided me out there, brought me to this. I saw 6 cents. It opened me up and I got recognized signs from spirit. Accept the contact is real. Feel it without fear and hesitation and trust the message. And that's what my book teaches people to do, not just with something like that, but also in interpreting deathbed visions, how to make sense of your near-death experience, visitations, and messages that you receive from your loved ones through a medium. And that's the raft technique in my book, The Afterlife Frequency.
Imagine how radically different this book could have been if you'd have found a nickel and two pennies face up. You would have picked them up and been seven up. I'm thirsty.
Seven up.
And you would have kept walking on with a writer's block. That's unbelievable.
It's so wonderful. I love it. You know, I'm used to delivering messages to people and they're like, oh my gosh, you know, and I love the fact that I've never lost the aha moment and the oh my gosh factor. And that truly is a gift. And what everybody needs to realize is that your loved ones in spirit do reach out to you. And through the raft technique, it will help you to recognize when they're doing that. And certainly nothing can replace the physical presence of a loved one, but it is so wonderful to know that they just didn't disintegrate into nothingness. And it makes it even better knowing that this can be proven through quantum physics.
Mark, talking about near-death experience, we know the basics of it, right? Where in an injury, we're sick, heart attack, stroke, whatever happens. And it's that disconnect from the human physical living to something bigger, transcending beyond us. Do you find that, and this again, kind of off the beaten path, but sure. I believe that I've not had near-death experiences that way. I've died twice. But there was no flash of light. There was no voices. There was no, thankfully, there was also no cloven hoof, brimstone stirring.
Yeah, the hellish NDE.
Right, right. So I've not had that, but I have had near-death experiences, moments where I know that car accident should have killed me.
Yeah.
That should have taken me out. That should have. And I realized that my consciousness continues on, and I've talked about it on the show with the Mandela effect, wondering if in those instances, did I die and my consciousness jumped over to this plane of reality, the alternate, you know, parallel universe philosophy, and the consciousness continues. Like the movie Jet Li in the movie The One, he keeps jumping realities, killing himself so that his main version gets stronger. Well, I wonder if that's why we have things like the Mandela effect. Have we jumped over, not in the classic sense of near death, but in a moment that we shouldn't have been here anymore? Our life should have ended, but we get to continue in this stream of consciousness. What do you think of that?
I believe what you experienced is a form of interdimensional communication, which is, you know, near-death experience, mediumship, glimpsing a spirit contact. Carl Schwarzschild was a good friend of Albert Einstein's, and he developed what's known as the Schwarzschild quantum lattice theory, which has now been recreated in laboratories by quantum physicists. And what happens is an electron disappears from one location and then appears in another location without traversing the matter in between. And physicists have been studying this, and it appears that the electron is quantum leaping from our dimension to another dimension and reappearing. This happens to us all the time. So those days, unlike what you described, when you don't feel like you're all here, well, surprise, we never really are, because part of us is always quantum leaping from this dimension, the material world dimension, to the other side dimension, or the afterlife frequency of the other side dimension. And I know exactly what you're talking about. You have these moments where, like, I was somewhere else and it wasn't a daydream. It's you were actually there, you know? And so there is physics to back up that phenomenon. And then think about it, when we physically die, and then we have the electromagnetic soul, then it as an entity, or we as an entity, quantum leaps to this other dimension. Think of the other side, like we're on the first floor, the other side's the third floor, and the spirit communication happens somewhere around the second floor. You know, so they bring their frequency down, we bring ours up, and we get a frequency match.
I like that. I like it a lot. Now, in the book, The Afterlife Frequency, which we've been talking about, folks, I'll show you the cover so that you know not to miss it. The Afterlife Frequency, The Scientific Proof of Spiritual Contact and How That Awareness Will Change Your Life. Mark Anthony, the author and our guest today. In the book, you explain the different forms of contact with spirits, such as like through a medium like you, to the dream state or deathbed visions, near death and shared death experiences. All the way to the proverbial I saw a ghost.
Yeah.
Is there a common denominator, though, between all of these different forms of communication?
Absolutely. And it all has to do with the vibrational frequency of our electromagnetic soul increasing, elevating. It's like when I was talking about third floor, and second floor is where we have the contact. So here we are on the first floor, spirits are on the third floor, and our brainwave frequency begins to elevate. Spirits spot that, they bring theirs down, we get the frequency match. And that's the energetic commonality between mediumship, because that's what a medium does, and then I report what I'm perceiving to you. It's what happens in a visitation, whether you catch a glimpse, the proverbial, like you said, I saw a ghost, or it happens in the dream state. That's what happens in a near-death experience, except it's a bit more drastic because your electromagnetic soul may actually be vacating your vessel temporarily. Deathbed visions, that's exactly what's happening, because the frequency of your electromagnetic soul is elevating, and spirits are perceiving that, which is why people who are in the final moments of death will often see and interact with their loved ones in spirit. And so that's, you know, what I was explaining, why this book is different than other books written by mediums and on the topic, because I'm pulling all of this together. These are not separate, isolated phenomenon. These phenomenon are all related and based on the same principles of electromagnetic energy, the electromagnetic soul, vibration, and frequency alignment.
What was the biggest aha moment for you? Obviously, you came in with a hypothesis, and you came in 10 years ago when you got this first all spark to begin this book. What really surprised you scientifically to back up the theories and information that you were getting? And do you believe that you were getting help from the other side, aside from your friend? But do you believe that there's somebody out there helping to telegraph this to you so that we can finally get it right?
Yes. And this is not something that I talk about very often. This okay. is one of those intimate things I tell Dave Schrader before millions of listeners. It had to be, I'm trying to think when this was. This had to be 2016. And I was one of the headline speakers at the Edgar Cayce Association for Research and Enlightenment. It was the Reincarnation Summit. And so I was waiting to go on. And on the stage was Edgar Cayce's great-granddaughter, Corinne Cayce. Awesome. She's amazing. She's really sweet. And let me give some backstory. When I was in my late teens, early 20s, you know, I was, your typical college student, party boy. And every time I'd go out drinking and partying, I'd get really, really sick. And, 102 fever. It was just horrible. I was tested for everything. Every doctor said, you're fine. You're healthy. And I said, I didn't feel healthy. And I came to the conclusion at the ripe age of 20 that I needed to stop drinking and doing any recreational stuff. So I stopped doing that. So here I'm at Edgar Cayce Center. I'm watching Corinne Cayce. And all of a sudden, and I'm so glad you told the story about how you feel like you're here but not here. All of a sudden, Dave, it was like this flash in my mind's eye. Okay, and I'm sitting in the back of the room. My manager, Rocky's sitting next to me. And all of a sudden, I'm in this different reality, different place, and swear as God is my witness, okay? And I don't say this lightly. Edgar Cayce is in front of me, and I hear thousands of voices speaking in a unified fashion that we made you sick. We did that to you so that you would not stray from your path. And then I came out of it. And in that moment, Dave, everything changed. Yes, you know, I was a medium, and yes, I was doing readings and all that, but something changed then. It elevated everything that I did, and it also gave me the understanding of the collective consciousness. It gave me the understanding of spiritual synchronicity. It gave me the understanding that there's a quantum electromagnetic connection. And then that night when I got up on stage and started doing readings, one thing after the next was medical, medical, medical. And it was so on point. And Rocky was like, you know, you've gotten some medical stuff before, but nothing like this. And from that point on, in I'd say about 95% of my readings, I will get detailed medical information either about the person I'm doing the reading for or someone in their family. And that was a huge aha moment. And the thing is, you know, I'm not saying I'm special. Things like this happen to all of us just in different ways. But that was the aha moment that got, it just tied everything together. And so we had that. And then I had the experience that I related to earlier. And so all of these things were melding within my mind and have culminated in me writing this book, The Afterlife Frequency.
You know, it's I've spoken on the show about my experience with my mom having on New Year's Eve of 1988, a month before my son was born. I was driving people home. I was sober cabbing it. And I kept having visions every time I drive by my mom's street of her collapsing, her being wheeled out, drive-by again. I'd see her being put in the ambulance. And it was just this recurring, and I started driving down the street. Nope, there's nothing here, dude. You're hallucinating. Just knock it off. Later on, I got home. Mom came out to greet me. She says, I'll be right back. I'm going to go to the bathroom and then we'll talk. And she turned around and promptly collapsed, having a grand mal seizure. Wow. There was that connection. When we did that final event at the Stanley Hotel, Mark and Debbie Constantino, who were the EVP specialists, were there.
Yeah.
And we got done and we said our goodbyes on that event. You remember, there was a very emotional moment on one of the last days when everybody got together into a big hug, and even the fans started getting up and getting into this hug. And it was really powerful. And I remember my mom asking, why are you so upset? And I said, because I know this is the last time I'm going to work with a few of these people. And my mom said, well, what do you mean? And I said, like Mark and Debbie, Mom, if I had to put a bet on anything in life, this is going to end in a murder suicide. And she's like, no, my mom loved Mark and Debbie. And I said, there's Mom, I just know something's wrong. Something's off. And that was what, 4 or 5 years before the murder suicide. Yeah. And it was like, just in those moments, it was without question, I knew this was going to happen. Yeah. And you look at these moments and you think, you know, it's how do you interpret them? And in those instances, that's not something I could just go up to him and go, hey guys, I got a really bad vision. You guys, one of you is going to kill the other and then kill yourself. That's something you can't tap into, you know?
Well, it also doesn't mean that you can change the outcome either. You know, I remember years and years ago, my mother was at the MGM Grand. It had just opened in Las Vegas. And my dad took her there. They were staying at another hotel. And he says, oh, we got to see the MGM Grand. They walk in and she goes, oh, my God. She started sweating profusely. She goes, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. She goes, there's death everywhere. This is a tomb. People are going to die. She goes, oh, my God. I mean, she was like flipping out. And dad's like, all right, I got to get her out of here, you know. And I remember when she got back to Florida and she called me and she told me this. And she goes, it was just terrible. I hated that place. It was a tomb. Like 2 weeks later, it was on the news that there was a fire at the MGM Grand, and it started in a broom closet, and the smoke that was burning plastic, it was an electrical fire, got sucked into the vent, and it asphyxiated, I think, something like 84 people. And my mother had picked up on that vibration, the heat, that's why she was sweating. She couldn't breathe. She knew it was a tomb. And I remember she called me up and she goes, turn on the news. And I put on CNN and they had that story. And she was crying on the phone. And she said, why couldn't I have done something? I said, Mom, who would you have told? Would they have believed you? What are you going to say? You know, and so, Dave, when things like that happen, you know, you remember I was talking about the Schwarzschild quantum lattice theory. Your electromagnetic soul did a quantum leap and tapped into that quantum field, past, present, future. And because it was an emotional event where you were leaving people that meant a great deal to you, unfortunately, you got quantum entangled with a future murder-suicide with them. But that doesn't mean you could have changed it. Okay.
No, I beat myself up over that for quite a while wondering. And then, you know, what the answer was came to me years later. Prior to what happened, they had a falling out and Debbie reached out to me and she's like, Dave, what do you think? Can I just come to Minnesota? Can I just stay with you for a little bit to get on my feet? And I said, Deb, I love you. I care about you. I can't have you come here. I said, something's off with Mark. And I'm pretty sure if I let you come stay here, we'll both be dead. And she's like, what? And I just said, I'm sorry. I've got kids. I can't take that chance. Something's wrong, Debbie. So, you know, I beat myself up for a while thinking, well, why didn't you, what could you have done? You should have done something. And then I realized, oh, the reason I was given this was, you know, like with my mom, the reason I was given that vision was so that I could be home with my mom, to be there to take care of her. The reason I did this wasn't to save Mark and Debbie. It was because later on when she would lean on me and I love my friends. I would go to the ends of the world for you guys. I would have gladly opened my doors to her, but something set off my spider sense worse than it had ever been before. And I think It was a hard decision, but I knew that I had to take care of myself and my kids. And what happened? Debbie ends up living with a friend and her roommate, and Mark went and killed the roommate and killed himself and killed Debbie. So my prediction was pretty spot on that had I let her live with me, I'm pretty sure that would have been me splashed across the headlines. So it's sometimes you have to look back at that. But I guess this is a good springboard for another point I want to get to in a minute, but go ahead.
Hold on. You just perfectly described how you naturally apply the RAFT technique. You recognize there was a sign, a message. You accepted it as real. You felt it. You knew, you felt that if you made that decision, it would be you and possibly your children dead, and you trusted that message. And this is why my collective of spirits, my parents transmitted to me why I developed the RAFT technique. And the thing is, Dave, you're a natural at it because, you know, you're in the field, but, you know, also you have a natural intuitive sense. And so that's the type of approach that the RAFT technique helps people to make sense of these things. You see, just because you pick up on a negative event, that doesn't mean that you can change it. And I picked up on lots of things. And you know, what were you going to do? And what if you had intervened, just like you said, and she was living with you and he came and murdered you and your children? So sometimes we have to just accept the fact that because we can see something or we feel something doesn't necessarily mean we can change the outcome.
Now, in the trailer for your book that we played at the beginning of the show, you talk about your book deals with things like homicide, PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, and survivor's guilt. Yes. And I thought that was a good springboard coming off of what we just discussed. Like I said, I had this survivor's guilt for not having done something, but knowing that there was nothing I could do. This was, I realized this was fate. This was coming no matter what anybody did. But it's hard to stay after and reconcile that. And how does your book help with all of these different aspects?
Well, they explain what these phenomena are, and then they present very, very gripping stories about all of them. And the PTSD and survivor's guilt is, there's a number of stories about those, but there's one in particular, and I'm not going to give it away because it's one of the huge stories in the book. And for people who are reading it, they're going to get that. But PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, affects so many people. I mean, look at all of our veterans that are grappling with it. And one of the things that I stress in working with men is some guys would rather die than cry, particularly military personnel, because, you know, I think that's a form of weakness. But it's important to cry because tears of grief, and it has been proven at the university in Minnesota, as well as at USC and other institutions, that the tears of grief actually contain the chemicals that cause depression. And so when you cry, you're physically getting those chemicals out of your body. And that's why a lot of times after, you know, a real grief cry, you feel so much more relaxed. And grief tears are chemically different than reflex tears. Like, you know, if you sneeze because, you know, there's pollen or something like that. And so the book explains these to people and also gives examples that I think pretty much everybody can relate to with PTSD and survivor's guilt. Survivor's guilt's a horrible thing. Horrible thing. You know, I knew a man who was taking care of his father, and his father was dying, and he got very frustrated because he said, "Oh, I wish you'd die." And then realized afterwards, you know, well, right when he said it, what he had said. And then when his father did die a few weeks ago, has been plagued by this. And the thing is, this guy had what's known as caretaker fatigue. He was exhausted. He was tired. He was frustrated. It was a 24/7 thing. And he said something that he said he'll regret forever. Now he's, you know, like facilitated connections, and of course there's forgiveness, but something like that can plague you for your entire life. And it's important to confront it, to discuss it, to understand it, and to work through it.
Let's, you know, as we're wrapping up, just a couple final thoughts on things like this. But now you've said that the afterlife frequency can actually help people develop a heightened sense of spiritual situational awareness. So maybe you could describe to us, what does spiritual situational awareness mean?
You know, when you grow up with a dad who's a Navy SEAL, oh my God, his mantra, be aware. Be aware. I mean, it was like a joke, you know, with my brother, sister, and I, we'd be getting ready to go out, be aware. And with first responders, military personnel, situational awareness is being aware of what's going around you at all times. So dad was like always on us about that. My brother and I, to this day, you know, wherever we go, we're always checking out, you know, what's going on around us. Well, that's dealing with the seen, the S-E-E-N, the seen world. And then there's the unseen world. So spiritual situational awareness takes the situational awareness and then expands it to spiritual influences around you. And by incorporating the raft technique, that's how you begin to be more aware. And I also give some awareness exercises, a simple meditation and exercises to do to first focus on your awareness. You know, it, like I said, growing up with a dad of a Navy SEAL, I mean, I've been around so many people that, I mean, with all due respect, they're just lug nuts when it comes to being in public. I mean, I was in New Orleans once, I think it was Mardi Gras or something, and I was with a couple of friends who were, you know, up Bourbon Street, everyone's, you know, partying and there's beer sloshing around and everything. And all of a sudden, 20 cops, I mean, literally, cops go running right into this bar that we're headed for. And I go, let's get out of here now. My friend's like, why? Because somebody might start shooting a gun. You're paranoid. You know, it's like the way I was raised. When you see a bunch of cops storming a bar, you don't go there. Okay. I mean, that's a very basic situational awareness fact. And so, let's take this into what you do in paranormal investigations, Dave. All right. And I've watched enough The Holes or Files. And plus, you know, I've been on them with you as well. But you go into a place. First off, you get the lay of the house or the building. There's your situational awareness. Then you have somebody like me or Cindy, and you get us. We start feeling the spirituality of it. Then you start setting up your paranormal investigation equipment. So there you are actually creating a perfect example of spiritual situational awareness. Now, for the regular person that's not on a supernatural a paranormal investigation, this is something when you start getting that tingly sensation, or you think you hear the voice of a loved one, or you catch that glimpse out of your peripheral vision. This is where you kick in with raft. You recognize, accept, feel, and trust. And then you're like, okay, what are you telling me? And that all ties into your spiritual situational awareness. And I want to say this. With spirit, your loved ones in spirit, spirits are not here to control you. They're here to guide you. And nothing spiritual in the positive sense is controlling. And when people understand that, you can see what a powerful instrument of healing, and not just physical healing, but healing from survivor's guilt, healing from PTSD, spirit communication really is.
Does the afterlife frequency, the concept of this, does it help people to develop spiritual situational awareness as well? Or is it always there? You just have to learn to let go of, I guess our big problem is we're so tied to the physical that sometimes we forget to let imagination live, to let other parts of our brain breathe again. Is that an integral part? And are there some exercises that you recommend people should try so that they can expand these different horizons for themselves?
Absolutely. And I'm going to answer that with something. I think I saw it posted on Darkness Radio's Facebook page. It shows a public park and there's a bunch of benches. and everyone's playing on their phone, and Bigfoot's walking by. And the caption is, "This is why there's no recent photos of Bigfoot."
Right.
So put down the electronics and tap back into life.
Put the phone down. You know what? In ye olden days, before caller ID, especially in the house I grew up in, the phone would ring and mom or dad would ring and say, "Oh, that's Aunt Etta," or "That's Cousin Marie." And we'd pick it up. And I remember my mom would pick it up and go, "Hi, Marie." And she'd go, "How do you know?" You know, because we have these abilities. And I love, I was reading one of the Harry Potter books. It didn't make it into the movies, but Hermione said, "Well, Muggles created technology because they don't have magic." So I thought that was very poignant. But to answer your question directly, yeah, we all have it. It's learning how to unblock and how to be more sensitive to things around us. You know, be aware. Don't walk into a situation that looks like, you know, there's crime happening. Be aware. You know, I mean, one of the most horrifying things is when you hear about a baby drowning in a swimming pool. And that's because studies show that one parent thought the other parent was watching the child. Okay. Don't ever make assumptions when it comes to the life of your children. You exercise your awareness. Where is that child? Who is watching that child? And I say that because as not just a medium, but also as an attorney, I have seen this happen too many times.
Be aware. Put the electronics down. Of course, that's going to be something that disrupts your magnetic and energetic field as well. If you're constantly steeped with all of these screens and electronics, we have to reroute and reground ourselves. I'm not an outside guy, but I do know I sometimes feel better when I go sit on my front porch and I just let the breeze come over me and I hear the birds sing and I feel the warmth of the sun and the cool bite of the autumn air. You know, it there's something that enlivens us again. And
sure.
And I think we have been dumbed down from maybe we were all starting to reach this next level and then technology that our humanity seems to have taken a bit of a shit. And I don't know how else to say it politely, but we've become separated by something that brings us so close to one another.
We live in the 21st century, and you know, I always thought we'd be zooming around in flying cars. Instead, we're telling people not to eat detergent packets because they look like candy. You know, I mean,
but they're delicious, Mark. They're delicious.
Who's going to benefit most from reading this book, The Afterlife Frequency? Is it only people that are already kind of in tuned, or is this something that is kind of the, you know, the opening key? What is that? The skeleton key for all to examine this aspect of our world?
I think anybody would benefit from this book because it bridges the gap between the spiritual and the scientific. It explains phenomena that have been documented for thousands of years in a logical, rational way. And it gives you hope to cope with not just living in the material world, but losing people. You know, because the thing is, Dave, is as you well know, and I love your mom. She was just awesome. I'll never forget. It's so funny. We've been talking so much about that Estes Park trip. But I remember buying a couple cherry pies. There's this place near there that sells like the best cherry pie ever. And I remember sitting and eating cherry pie with your mom, you know, and the thing is, that's how I remember her, laughing, smiling, eating cherry pie. And I loved her just from the little bit that I know. And so I know how crippling emotionally it is to lose. I lost my mom, my dad, my two best friends, and more people than I care to think of. And it really helps. The afterlife frequency helps you understand that the person that you love did not just disintegrate. They've merely transferred to another frequency.
I like that. I like that. And that's a good way to go out, but I'm going to push you for one more thing because you're a deep guy. You've always got a lot of great insights. So if you had to look at everything that you've encountered in your life and everything that you put into this book, what one spiritual message above all would you like to share with our audience today around the world?
a five-point message that the divine power we call God exists, that the afterlife, heaven, nirvana, whatever you want to call it, exists, that our soul, our electromagnetic soul, is an eternal living entity, that we can communicate with the electromagnetic souls, and that we will be reunited with our loved ones in the light when it is our appointed time to leave the material world.
I've got to ask you the funny side of this, right? Are we, you know, my oldest daughter, her mom and I were great friends when we were young kids and everything. And she lost both of her parents a few years ago. And as her mom lay dying on the bed, my daughter, Jen, sat with her and she said, are you looking forward to seeing Carl, your husband? And she said, oh, hell no. So what happens, Mark? Are we going to still have to confront people we didn't want to see in this life? Or are we going to be able to repel them on the other side? Or is there an automatic forgiveness that takes place once we kind of wash through this mortal coil onto the next?
From what I can see, it's a combination of the above. But we also have to realize that when we go from being a material, encased in a material body, to a purely energetic state, what dies with the body is the human brain. And with the brain, it dies the ego, the mental, the physical issues. So when you encounter these people, oh, you'll recognize them. And you certainly will remember what they did to you, but they're no longer malevolent or negative in that sense. But there's no requirement that you have to spend eternity with them. So it could be, hey, it's nice to see you. Namaste. I'm going to go hang out with, you know, one of the Rolling Stones that died, or Kurt Cobain, or whatever.
Right.
So you don't have to worry about that, because people are like, well, I don't want to see so and so. It's like, yeah, but you see him, you forgive him, you move on.
Right. You're giving up the part of who you are on this earth, the petty, the jealous, the greed, the anger, the nastiness. That next evolution is just taking the best of what you once were.
Absolutely.
See,
absolutely.
That's what I think a lot of hauntings really are, my good old friend Mike Arnold here. Mark, is that it's these hauntings that are fragments of who we once were. Shadows of just
they are
our soul self,
and a lot of them are residual energy echoes as opposed to ascension spirit, because people are like, well, you know, the spirit's anchored here. It's like, come on, you know, we're immortal living beings when we leave our body. All right, let me put it like this. You have a choice. You can hang out in a garbage dump or go to Maui. What are you going to do?
I burn really easily. That garbage dump might be. See, I'm on the other side of things, though. Like,
okay, you know, all right, a Star Wars convention.
If I had to see, my problem is I could see myself hanging here because I love my grandchildren. I love my children. I would love to be a part of their life.
Well, you still will be. It's just that as an electromagnetic soul, you move at the speed of light. So by the time it takes me to take a sip of that water, you as a spirit could have been back and forth to the moon about three times. Okay.
Nice. All right.
So that's why people, are they with me? Well, yeah, but we're moving so slow. By the time you get out of bed and put on your slippers, they can zip around the world, do whatever it is that they're doing, interact with other spirits, and then pop over to you by the time you're pouring Cheerios into a bowl. So don't worry about them being with you. They can be with you. It's just that they're moving at such tremendous speeds. And, you know, in the other side dimension is not some far off nebulous place. Rather, it is a parallel dimension. So, and they can come here so quickly because, number one, they're moving at light speed. Number two, it's just an adjustment of frequency. So think of our world as AM radio, their world as FM radio, and whoop, they just alter their frequency and here they are. So never worry about seeing your grandkids and all that. You will, Dave.
All right. Well, hopefully I'm here for a good long time and can stay with them in the physical
Absolutely.
Realm.
You have way too much to do.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm hoping that I can live long enough that my hair decides to grow back again because it's so bored of staying inside my head.
You know, as much as I love Star Trek, I always wondered about Next Generation. You would think 300 years in the future, you'd think Picard, they would have, you know, not that they're, you know, not that there's anything wrong, But I always wondered, like, well, wouldn't they have come up with something for Paldas? 300? I mean, if they can break, if they can go at warp speeds, which is folding the space-time barrier, which is theoretically possible, I think they could figure a way to stimulate hair follicles. But, hey, I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, well, they couldn't fix Jordy LaForge's glasses or eyes until 12 movies into it either. So you just can't trust the science of science fiction. Mark Anthony, it is always a pleasure to spend time with you. The Afterlife Frequency is a cutting-edge book by Mark Anthony, the psychic explorer, the psychic lawyer. Make sure you get a copy of the book. There's a link for it in today's program guide. Mark, again, thank you for being a friend of our show for so long and for being a personal friend to us here as well.
Thank you, Dave. Many blessings. And I'm just so proud of you and all your success. And to all the listeners, I really want to thank the Army of Darkness. No matter where I go in the country on tour, Army of Darkness members come up. You guys are fantastic. Thank you so much for your love and support, not just on my behalf, but also on Dave and on Tim's as well.
Check out afterlifefrequency.com for more information on where you can see Mark live, how to get readings with Mark, how to get books from Mark. So go check that out. We'll be back again next week with more of the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm Dave. Back at the home base is Tim Dennis. That's Mark Anthony. And you've been listening to Darkness Radio.